The European Patent Office podcasts bring you an insight into the technology and innovation shaping the world.
Other podcasts in our series explore types of IP and how to protect it and who to turn to for advice. But protecting your IP is only the starting point. So how do you begin the commercialization journey? In this podcast, our guest Marta will provide advice on identifying market and customers' needs, finding support that can help you move your IP forward, and think about the timing, which can be crucial for success. My name is Alison Campbell, CEO of the Government Office for Technology Transfer in the UK. It's great to be able to team up with the EPO to bring you this podcast series and help you understand the power of IP as a key commercial asset to your business. One person who knows all about this is Marta Caterino. Marta is Head of Knowledge Transfer and Innovation at the BASIS, which is the Centre for Health Innovations at the School of Medicine at the University of Minho in Portugal. She's also a past president of the European Association for Knowledge Transfer, ASTP. Marta's got an extensive career in commercialization, and she's met the challenges of bringing new IP to the market. And she's going to be sharing her wealth of knowledge with us. Welcome, Marta.
My pleasure to be here with you. Thank you, Alison. And thank you, obviously, EPO, for having such an interesting set of podcasts.
So, Marta, one of the things that I said in my introduction is that IP is only the starting point, and you've certainly been on the long journey of IP commercialization. Strategically, what do you think is important about thinking about getting a piece of IP commercialized?
Well, definitely, having your IP protected is excellent, and it's a major step in your business plan, but is in fact a part of your business plan. You do have to have a strategy on how to move it forward, be you a company, an individual inventor, or a researcher. It's a vehicle to bring your creativity to the market, to become new processes, product services, but it's not an end in itself. So you do have to build a strategy around that. So again, you have to have a compelling proposition. And that compelling proposition, let's say your pitch, you have to take into account so not only the technical differences between what you have invented and what's already in the market, but what are going to be your benefits regarding who is going to use it? So whose lives is it going to change?
Really interesting there that you talk about the business plan and talk about strategies for intellectual property for marketing and commercialization. And I think that's something that we might like to unpack during our conversation. So it can sometimes be quite daunting, particularly when you've got an early stage opportunity, to know the right timing to file for patent protection because you've set the clock running and it begins and you're starting to incur costs, and also to know what the right time is to really approach the market. Do you have any experience or guidance to offer on that?
You want to patent as late as possible in the sense that that will allow you to have the proof of concept and the further development of the technology much closer to what the market will need. But that will depend on two things. On one side, how early do you need to protect so that you can publish or make dissemination or to divulge to whoever? And that's particularly relevant in universities. And then on the other side, how fast are your competitors going to move into the same field that you are? So you do want to delay because the costs will start incurring and the clock will start ticking for further costs. But can you delay it? Can you keep it secret for how long? And then how fast are your competitors going to move into the same area where you are? So very often you have to go faster than you would like to, but that will just give you the opportunity to make an added value for what you have already developed earlier.
Great things to think about there, Marta. And there isn't really, as you're saying, that there isn't necessarily a right answer to this. But what is very important is really to think about issues such as timing, costs, potential licensees and partners, and also, as you say, what the competition is up to. And based on that, then I guess you can make a very good prediction, or at least an assumption, as to when you need to file your IP and when you need to think about going out and approaching the market. What do you need to think about when you're looking at your intellectual property or your technology? What would the listener need to think through as they're thinking about an approach to the market?
First point, in my opinion, would be, can I commercialize this myself? Do I need somebody else's support? Do you have the manufacturing capability? Do you have the market understanding? Do you have the commercialization routes that will allow you to move it forward by yourself? In most of the cases, it is not like this. You do require some support. And this support will depend on, do you have a method? Do you have a process? What do you have, and who else can be part of your ecosystem that will make sure that this will come into the market?
So what kind of support are you talking about there, Marta?
Is there a specific company that can support you in further developing your technology? Do you need, again, proof of concept? Do you need this to be part of somebody else's process? You do really have to understand technologically in which way is this going to be fitting the market need. So you do have to look into that. And then if you understand what type of companies can support you, then we get in touch with those.
So Marta, tell me, when a new inventor or innovator is thinking about who's going to benefit from my technology, where do they start to look to understand that potential marketplace? Because it can seem quite daunting.
Of course it can. And it might seem like an insurmountable task, but obviously it's not the case. Somebody out there is looking forward to what we have to offer. So who is that person? On one side, we have to look from the inventor, company, researcher side. What we have invented, and then how do we reach those people? And mostly, both the companies, individual inventors and researchers already have or should be building a network of contacts that they can ask whether this is more or less relevant to the current solutions they have at the moment.
That's a very interesting point that you raised there about accessing networks. I think that's something that's often overlooked when people are thinking about how to move into the marketplace with a new piece of intellectual property. I think there's often people would think, oh my goodness, I need to do some very technical searches. I need to perhaps access some very complicated market databases. But in my experience, there's nothing better than just talking to people. And networks can be professional networks. They can be networks of other inventors and innovators. And in actual fact, I know from my experience that there's often, if you look for it, there can often be regional networks in different kinds of sectors, either for people who want to think about starting companies, networks with investors, or just networks that involve people who are interested in particular technology areas where you can get out either physically or get out through the joys of Zoom and actually make contact with people to learn about what's going on in a particular area. And I guess there's also things like going to trade shows and conferences. Can that be an expensive option, or is that a very viable option?
No, definitely. This is how you move it forward. So on one side, we can seem overwhelmed by, do I need to do some very professional market research and have a 100-page research on who is in the market? It's not the case. It is mostly looking into, so who do I know that can provide me feedback? Am I involved in the regional networks? Am I talking to my colleagues, to my peers, to the companies that have already worked with me, even with competitors? All of those more personal type of contacts, from my experience, is mostly where the leads come from. So you do have to be out there. You go to industry fairs, you go to brokerage events, you are mostly out there. And again, the new technologies allow you to access people that otherwise you wouldn't have been able to. So it's not a question of having a very expensive market research done by a professional company. It's being really out there in the market and understanding who needs what and who you can discuss it with. Then another aspect regarding it is, where does your technical advantages, which are the subject of the patent, so how do they translate into benefits? So who would I be looking into to make sure that my technology has a good market fit? So is it a standalone device? Is it something that is part of a larger technological chain? For example, I have a piece of equipment that will increase the efficiency of already existing specific technical products. So am I able to commercialize it myself? Do I need a partner, and at what stage? So the stage of development and the closeness or the time to market is, from my experience, one of the very, very relevant aspects that you have to take into account when you are moving your IP into the market.
So as well as thinking about which companies might benefit from your technology or your new intellectual property or innovation, I guess you also need to think about how it fits in the overall context and maybe what stage of development it's at. You've got some experience of that, haven't you?
Definitely the stage of development is essential for you to understand in which way you can, again, move it forward. So the level of technical development required to have IP granted might be different from what you will need to take it into the market. So proof of concept. So do you just have a concept? How have you tested it? It is very relevant for the inventor, the company, the researcher to really understand how further along in the stage of development and validation it has been already achieved. And this will help you to understand, for example, whether you need a company, a partner. It can be a regional partner, it can be a small company, it can be somebody really close to you, and again, in your network of contacts, that can devote some time to support you in further advancing what you already have at the moment before you can contact the, let's say, the major players that you will expect to be the ones that will further advance your technology in a manner that has the greatest impact possible.
You've just sort of struck something in my mind there, which is really about timing. You've just been describing various stages of development. And I guess it's quite challenging for an inventor to decide at which stage they need to go out and start seeking a partner or a licensee. There isn't, I think, one discrete answer, but what kind of advice would you have, or what do people need to think about as part of this?
The first step is, again, to make sure that you have your IP protected. Once you do have that, you have some degrees of freedom to be able to address, attract potential interested parties. Then how far are you in the development project? So have you already achieved one potential application? Do you have a blueprint of how that will happen? Have you already had the opportunity to test it? And very often, once you have the patent application, you do not yet have all that information. But you have to make sure that you will very, very, very soon, as you were saying, the time to market is a pressing issue, obviously. So you have to make sure that you will have the opportunity to make a proof of concept of what you've already achieved. And that proof of concept will later allow you to then market and look into other type of partners to further increase the scope of the exploitation potential of your invention and your research results.
So, Marta, we've talked a little bit about the potential importance of proof of concept to develop a technology, particularly where we're looking in the area of patenting and maybe even prototyping. Do you have any examples from your own experience where you've seen that adding value to a commercial proposition?
Two different possibilities, or from my experience. And one of those is very much related to the setting up of spin-off companies that can exactly do that proof of concept. There is both in Portugal and in Europe a further availability of funds if you want to move your technology further through the setting up of a spin-off company, because that will make sure that you will have a specific professional team that will move the technology further. And the setting up of a spin-off company is a widely used process for moving research results from university, particularly in my field of activity at the moment, which is in the life sciences and medical fields. The time to market, the level of investment is of such a level that setting up a specific company will help you get support to move the technology further in a manner that will later become again new products, processes, and technologies in the market.
We've talked a little bit about understanding the benefits of technology and IP, and thinking what your discrete offering is, and also thinking about the kinds of companies that would benefit, and indeed ultimately your final customers. But how do you go about approaching, say, a company if you want to license your technology or you want to partner with them for further developments? You've identified who they might be, but how do you make that first step? That's quite scary, isn't it? Do you have any sort of practical experience that you can share? And how did you get over that fear threshold?
Mostly these days, social networks do help you a lot in that. So one or two options. So either through social networks, or you have actually been at an event where you could have met this person. It is my understanding and my experience that these top people that you want to get in contact with, they are looking into opportunities. So it's the means of approaching them, but also the message that you have. So you do have to have, let's say, a pitch very ready that once you get these people attention, you have to be very specific to the point, mentioning the benefits, how do you want to move forward, and how your solution would fit their main objectives. And then you do get to these people. These days it's, well, much easier than in the past, again, with the social networks, events and such. But once you get to these people, I think it's more relevant. You will definitely know somebody that knows somebody that knows that person, the 6 degrees of separation. You just have to be totally out there and having a clear pitch of what you are wanting to achieve and making sure that you do not miss any opportunity to move that pitch forward.
I really like that. You said something that's so powerful there. I remember talking to a friend and colleague of mine in the States in a large company, and she was saying that they were inundated with potential proposals for new ideas, for new opportunities, etc. And part of her job was to do that level of screening. And what you've just said there really resonates with me, because she said, I need people to help me. I want something very short that really explains to me what this is about and why I need to pay attention to it. She said, because ultimately I have to take these in and I have to move them out to the appropriate part of the company, whether it's a research team or my boss. And I need something that I can process quickly, I can understand, and that they can understand. And I remember her saying, and then if we're really interested, we'll follow up and have more of a conversation with you. And I think what you were saying there about the pitch is really very important. And it's a hard thing to do.
Another interesting approach that we've been using is inviting these people to be part of your advisory board somehow. You put yourself in their satellite orbit, and then you ask them, would you be able to just give us your feedback in a yearly event where you can be invited to come to our lovely part of the world? Or whatever, but then you bring those people into your advisory board, but then you do want to manage those contacts in a manner that you will be, and that's what also they expect when they accept to be in your advisory board, that they will be able to support you. We've had the really relevant experiences, particularly in the medical field, going through the researchers who are experts in the area. We bring relevant companies and relevant people in those companies to just be, let's say, the jury of a specific event where they only need to provide, let's say, 1 hour of their time. But what you want to do is to bring those people into your network. And then once you get in contact with them to really move your technology forward, again, you do need to have a very clear pitch. So this is what I'm looking for. This is why we are different from what's going on. These are our competitors. This is how we are moving forward. Don't you feel this is a great opportunity for you to support us? We would love that.
That's a very interesting concept, I think. And bringing in people to be advisors is a great idea if you're thinking of them as potential partners as well, or potential licensees, or even potential investors. And that works really well in a university setting, or as you've described, in a medical setting. For maybe for some individual inventors who may be listening to this podcast, that may not seem so relevant, but actually the same principles apply. It's the principles, isn't it, of asking people for their help and advice. And oftentimes people are really keen to give you their help and advice. And I know one of the things that I found very helpful in terms of bringing an invention closer to market is working on those networks and just going to have an informal chat or a conversation with people and just asking them for their advice on your idea in a non-confidential manner, or asking them for ideas about the overall marketplace. I think that can be a really valuable piece of market research, and it also sort of helps enhance your networks and helps enhance your route to market too. So I think the principles that we're talking about here really work for everybody, whether they be researchers in an academic kind of setting or whether they be lone inventors or potential entrepreneurs.
As a company, you do have to be out there. You know where the other companies that you want to relate with are. You know what type of events will bring people together. And you will have to just put yourself out there. But the major point is having a very clear pitch. And then just definitely being there.
So when we talk about having a clear pitch and what they might need from you and you might want for them, that brings me on to, I guess, my final point that I think really needs thinking through. Not only thinking about what have I got and how can another party benefit from this, but there's also an element of thinking, how do I want to structure this deal or this relationship? And I think one of the issues to think about it in my mind is, do I want to license out my intellectual property to another company? And do I want to do that on an exclusive basis or a non-exclusive basis? And there's pros and cons of doing that, aren't there? So what's your experience been? Mine, where I've been working very much with very early stage technologies and intellectual property, has been, in the majority of cases, it's been about exclusive licensing to give a company all the rights that they need. But I've also been involved in a couple of non-exclusive licenses for really good technology that can be used in many, many different areas in many different ways. But sometimes that's actually harder to think through. You got any examples?
I think mostly it has to do with what will be the highest degree of exploitation that you can provide to your invention. For example, if you have a process of improving the efficiency of landing of helicopters, you have to know that there are very few companies that are building helicopters. And therefore, they will be wanting an exclusive license. In other ways, you might have an invention that can be applied in different areas. It can be applied, for example, for, again, from my experience, for food safety, for the detecting or diagnostics of special diseases, veterinary area, human area. And you can understand, okay, there are companies which are positioned that for food safety, I will license for this specific application to this company. I will license for veterinarian applications to another company, and I will license for diagnostics of different human diseases to a different one.
So you were talking about thinking about segmenting your technology into areas of application, but you were also touching there on regional as well. And it's certainly possible to slice and dice your intellectual property so that you license in different territories, for example. I guess just one thing that we might want to add in there for the listener is that kind of non-exclusive licensing and thinking about segmenting it is a really terrific way to go. But you need to be aware, I think, as an inventor, that if you're going to be doing that, you're probably going to need to remain in charge of and controlling the intellectual property, its protection and its prosecution. And it can be an expensive business doing that, and it can be quite complex keeping an eye on all of your different licensees. So I think you really need to be thoughtful about how big and what's the potential of my technology, and then how do I really want to package that for maximal use? But I think it's important because these are all options that really need to be thought about. I'm going to need to bring our conversation to a close here. What I think I've heard from you, Marta, which is incredibly helpful for our listeners, I think, as a takeaway, is really the importance of thinking about what it is that you've got and how that's going to benefit potential customers, partners, or licensees. And then another very strong message coming out from you is to then tailor your approach to your potential partners or licensees. Really think about what it is that you have and make a very clear pitch to them so that they understand what it is that you've got and they can react to that appropriately. The other thing I think we've touched on is different ways that we might approach the market and thinking about who's out there. And happily, I can say that in a couple of our other podcasts, we're going to dig deep into the way of approaching companies. And we're also going to be exploring some of the resources that can be available to potential innovators, both in terms of advice and actual practical support through the PatLibs. So I'll leave that there with a taster for listeners. But for now, thank you so much, Marta Caterina, for joining us and sharing your experiences of taking IP to the marketplace. Thank you, Marta.
Thank you, Alison. My pleasure.
Subscribe to the European Patent Office's podcast channel, Talk Innovation, at epo.org or on your favorite podcast platform. Let's Talk Innovation.